Hello again, Eastlake Church family. Thank you so much for being a part of this, wherever and however you are watching from. I want to give a special shout out today to our Eastlake Church kids and students, middle school students that are often in their programs that I know right now, like my family in a previous service, all gathered together in our living room to be a part of a service. And so all of you kids and all of you students that are with your parents, thank you so much for being a part of this as well. And even though we are scattered and distributed in thousands of homes and places around our county and literally around the world right now, I just want to remind you right up front that we are still one church, because we have one hope and one faith and one Lord, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he is here today to meet with us and encourage us through the power of his Holy Spirit. Now, these are unprecedented times, no doubt. I know this week we all felt the world literally shift under our feet. And this will be one of those moments in time that we will all look back on and go, man, do you remember? And even when it kind of first, you know, things were changing so fast this week and coming out, I think we'll all remember kind of where we were and how it was going. This last week, just because a previously scheduled cohort learning group that I'm a part of, I was in Las Vegas this week. I flew there on Monday. I flew back on Thursday. And that was a weird place to be during all this. As more information came out, it was like, is this the right place to be? I mean, people from all over the world are there and in gathering in all sorts of large groups. And as this thing was changing, it just got weirder and weirder and more, you know, unsettling. I was staying right by the T-Mobile Arena, and the Pac-12 tournament was there, and they announced, hey, starting tomorrow, we're going to have games without fans. And then, you know, just a little while after that, it was like, hey, we're not having games at all. And it was just this really unsettling. You could already start to see people were, you know, social distancing and not wanting to be together. But to get back to my hotel room Wednesday night, I had a really interesting experience, because there were still a lot of people in the casino. And you know, if you've been in Vegas, you got to walk through the casino to get to your hotel room. And so I'm walking through the casino, and I'm thinking, like, this is not the place I'd want to be sitting down touching machines and stuff right now. And as I'm walking towards my room, I walk by a group of guys, and there's this dude sitting in front of a slot machine, pretty gristled, you know, like, man, that dude has lived some life, got a cigarette, and he kind of pulls it out and looks at his buddies, and he says, if I'm going down, I'm going down a winner. And then I just thought, man, it's so awesome that Pastor Mike is enjoying his retirement like that. Like, that's just absolutely incredible. Actually, it wasn't Pastor Mike, but the rest of that story is true. And these are just unprecedented times. We've never been in anything like this before. And so as we begin, here's what I want to do. I want to draw us back to our word for the year as a church. Because this is something that I believe God spoke to us and said, hey, Eastlake Church, Eastlake Church Network, here is the word that I want you to rally around during this season, this year, this moment. And so I want to take us back there, because I believe God has some encouragement for us through a word that he gave us to start this year. And I want to invite you to be a note taker. So get out your phone, open the app, and get ready to type some things in. You might remember our 2020 word for the year is with. Go ahead and type that in there. Is with. And with is a powerful thing. It means accompanied by, in the company of, escorted by. And I want to remind all of us today that God is with us. Right now, he is with you. Nobody has to go through this alone. We don't have to go through this in our own strength, in our own wisdom, in our own power. We have God, the creator of the universe, the one who loves us, whose plans for us are still good. The one who holds everything together, even when it seems like everything is out of control. We have that God and his presence with us right now. I want to show you a scripture verse that talks about the power of God being with us and how it can change the way we see our circumstances, even if our circumstances don't change. Let me give you the context of it. These are words that God spoke to a young leader by the name of Joshua, who's taken over leadership for the nation of Israel from Moses. And they're facing a lot of unknowns and a lot of uncertainty, just like we are right now. And Joshua felt like he was under a whole lot of pressure. And here's what God said to him, and I think it's what God would want to say to you today as well. Joshua 1:9, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is, everybody say the next two words out loud, with you, wherever you go. What God was saying to Joshua then is the same thing that he would want to encourage us with today. He was saying, you are not alone. No matter where you go, no matter what enemy you face, no matter what uncertainty comes your way, I am with you. And when you know the creator of the universe, the one who's still in control when it seems like everything else is out of control, when you know he is with you, you can be strong, you can be courageous, and you can be unafraid. And there has never been a time, I think, more important than right now for us as a community, a Jesus community of faith, to live out our focus of with during this crisis. I just want to remind you of the three focuses that we said we were going to have as a church community this year, which means us collectively, but it also means us individually. And I just want to bring us back to these three things because I think it's so important that we live them out right now. The first one was this. Go ahead and type this in. That we want to be people who are with God. We said we want to be more intentionally with God. I think one silver lining in all of this, and believe me, I have been looking for silver linings in this, is that we've all been gifted some pretty serious amounts of time right now. Many of our work schedules have changed. School has been put on break. All my kids, my three kids, their sports practices and games, which dominate almost all of our evenings and much of our weekends, they've all been postponed. And here's what this gives us all, time. And I want to encourage you to use this time that we've all been given to be with God, to be, in fact, with God daily. In January, we introduced all of our congregations to a very simple resource and tool that we want everyone to use to help you be with God daily. It's called the Bible in 1 Year app. B-I-O-Y, if you're looking for it. Bible in 1 Year app, that's what it looks like. Leave that up there for just a little while. It is put out by Alpha International, so you know you found the right one. And this is an incredible resource to help you spend time with God daily. Here's why I love it. Because not only does it give us a scripture to read for the day, but there's a great thought from a pastor friend of mine, Nikki Gumbel, who gives a commentary and an explanation and inspiration to help us understand each one of those passages. And so here's what I want you to do. If you're just hearing about this or seeing it for the first time, it is an incredible way that you can be with God daily. And so I want you to download that app, and I want you to start using it now. Or if you've gotten off track over the last couple weeks, what a great time to let God's word speak to your soul and encourage you. Maybe even during this time, you would say, hey, this is something we're going to do daily as a family. That we're going to gather together and we're going to read this, or it has an audio feature where you can have it be read to you and you can listen. But what a great way for God's word and his truth to encourage your soul. Every time I use it, God speaks to me and I'm encouraged, and I know he'll do the same for you. So let's continue to be intentionally with God during this season. And then we said as a church, we also want to be, type this in, with everyone. Or I'm sorry, with each other. This is about us being together as the church. Normally during a crisis, think about what happens for us as a nation and as a group of people. Think about a wartime event. Think about a significant recession. Or if you're old enough to remember, think about what happened in the days and weeks in our country after 9/11. Normally, when there is a global event or a national event, here's what happens. It draws us together. We come together as people. We want to be closer relationally with people because it gives us comfort, and we want to go deeper in our faith. If you remember back after 9/11, that next weekend, that next Sunday in churches around our nation, they were all packed beyond capacity. Why? Because moments like this want us to draw together in deep connection with one another and draw deeper in our faith. But what makes this moment in history really interesting is social distancing, that we actually are being told that it's not wise and it's not smart to come together in large groups. But let me tell you this, that social distancing does not have to mean social isolation. You are a human being. We are all human beings. And we are created, first of all, for a deep connection with our Creator God. And we are also created for connection with one another. And so we need to be the church for one another now more than ever. We need to live out the 59 one another commands that are in the New Testament, where it says things like love one another, pray for one another, bless one another, encourage one another. And so I want to call us as a church community to live those out. We can still do that. And so here's what I know. I found out in our previous services that there's a lot of growth groups that are getting together in homes in small groups, small numbers. But we're gathering to participate in service. You might be doing this not just with your family, but with a few friends. I want to encourage you to call people, to FaceTime people, to stay connected, to check on one another. Ask how people are doing. Pray for one another during this time. Let's make sure that we are still with each other. And then we said this year as a church, we want to be, write this last one down, with everyone. This is about our world. That we said we want to, in greater ways, show and share the love of Christ with everyone around us. Because we know that the church is not just for us, but the church is the hope of the world. And so we want to bless our world. And here's what I just know. I just know that there are kingdom of God opportunities in every crisis. And I believe there are kingdom of God opportunities for you and for me during this moment in time. There is an opportunity for the church to shine bright, not shrink back. And what I mean by that is that your friends and neighbors and coworkers in our cities, they need the hope and the peace and the love that Jesus has. And how is Jesus going to bring that peace and that hope and that love to your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers and your family? How is that going to happen? I'll tell you, he's going to bring it through you and through me. That we are supposed to be God's hope dealers and peace bringers and love givers. That's who we are. And this is really about us being the church. This is about us being the church. If you've been attending regularly for the last, you know, year and a half, 2 years or so, we started purposely introducing a statement at the close of all of our large group gatherings, where the very last words we would send you out on, you know what they are? What would we say every week? We would say this, that we are done being the church in here. Now go be the church out there. And that's a purposeful statement so that we would all remember that church is not a place that we go or a building we sit in or just a service that we are part of. But we, people, are the church who are sent out as everyday missionaries to represent Jesus where we live, work, and play. And that doesn't change right now just because we can't gather in large groups. We still need to be the church out there. And so as we wrap this up today, here's what I want to do. I want to give us three action steps, three ways that we can continue to be the church during this season, however long this is. And these are three things that as I've been praying for you and praying for our network of churches and praying for all of our local congregations, I'm saying, God, what is it you want to call us to do during this time? And I think that what God is going to ask us to do centers around these three action steps. And we're praying about, okay, how is this going to look as this keeps evolving and changing? But these are the three things that we're going to, these are our calls to action. Three ways that we are going to be the church during this time. I want you to type these in, okay? Here's the first one. We will be the church by being faithful in prayer. We will be faithful in prayer. As people of faith, what should our response in uncertainty be? It should be faith, right? When life squeezes in on us, we want faith to come out of us. Think of this plastic water bottle right here. If pressure on the outside is exerted, we take the cap off, right? If I squeeze this water bottle, whatever is on the inside is going to come out. So if this is filled with water, water will come out. If it was filled with soda, soda would come out, right? when pressure is squeezed. And so here's how this looks. Ready? Nobody's here, so we can make a little mess today. All right? If I put pressure on this, whatever's on the inside comes out. Right? This is the way it works. And right now, there's a whole lot of information and pressure that is squeezing in on all of us. A lot of uncertainty is squeezing out our normal rhythms of life. And what I want to come out of all of us as uncertainty and unknown squeeze in on us is faith and peace to overflow from within. But here's the reality we need to know. Whatever I fill my mind and my heart with is what will come out when pressures squeeze me. And so understand that if you want peace and faith to overflow out of you during this time, it's not gonna happen if all you're filling your life with is, you know, information and news cycles. Those aren't bad things. We need good information right now. But we need something more than that. Here's what I think we all need. We need peace. I wanna show you a scripture that promises peace. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Look what it says here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, Scripture teaches that when pressure from the outside builds, or inside, anxiety, fear, you know, like those things, there is a way we can have peace. And did you catch what it is? The antidote is prayer. That we take those things and we don't hold them in, but we give them over to God through prayer. And it says when we pray, here's what happens. God gives us peace that is peace that transcends or surpasses all of our understanding. Meaning even if our circumstances don't change, the way we see them and the courage and the faith that we have still can change. Here's the good news. Write it down. Think about it this way. Prayer leads to peace. Prayer leads to peace. If you want peace, it is found in the presence of God. And we access God's presence and power through prayer. So what should you pray for right now? Well, we should pray for wisdom for our leaders and health officials that are dealing with this. We should pray for protection. We should pray for healing for those that are sick. We should pray for peace for those that are living in fear. We created a prayer resource for you. And here's what I want to ask. I want everybody in all of our churches, I want you to download this prayer resource. If you just go to eastlake.church, click on our response to COVID-19, that is a page that we are constantly updating with the newest, most important announcements and resources. And so it's already up right now on there. And you can see that for each one of these action steps I'm giving today, there's a list of resources. And under prayer, we created, here are all these ways to pray right now in regards to what's going on in our world and what's going on in our culture. And Jesus people, we have always been people of prayer. And so I want to call us to greater commitments of prayer right now. And so would you download that and would you daily say, okay, God, I'm going to bring these to you and we are going to pray. Here's what I know. Prayer changes things. And I think one of the most important things about prayer is it changes me. It changes you, the person that is praying. It gives us heavenly perspective in the middle of worldly events. So we are going to be faithful in prayer. The second way I want us to be the church, type this one in, is to be faithful in service. To be faithful in service. All throughout history, the church has led the way in providing hope through service in times of crisis and need. And it is our moment to take up that legacy and play our part. Aristotle is quoted with saying this, "A common danger unites even the bitterest of enemies." Our world is coming together right now to fight this common enemy. We're all doing our part to reduce the spreading of a contagious virus. But let's remember that things like faith, hope, love, and serving one another, looking out for others' interests, not just our own, that those things are contagious too. And let's make those the norm in our communities during this time. Look at what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. The Apostle Paul is talking to a group of Jesus followers just like us, and he says this, "By helping each other with your," what is that word? "Troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ." By helping each other with your troubles, you obey the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? The law of Christ is to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus boiled down all the rules and all the laws in the Old Testament to two things. He said, here they are. Number one, you love God. Number two, you learn to love the people that God created, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your schoolmates, and your cellmates. Shout out to our friends at Donovan Prison. We love you. We're so glad that you're a part of this today as well. You see, the best way to love someone is to serve them in their troubles. And so I just want you to think, what are the things that are troubling the people around you right now? Probably fear, isolation, potential loneliness, potential loss of job, some practical need in their life. And so the best way to serve is to know what is going on with the people around you. And so here's a real practical thing you can do. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to the people around you. Talk to your extended family members. I was talking to an Eastlake Church member just earlier this week, I think 2 days ago, and they were talking about how they wanted to just check in on their neighbors. And one of their neighbors is an elderly couple, and so they just went over and knocked on the door and wanted to check and see how they were doing. And their neighbors, they were scared. They were fearful. They wanted to take steps to protect themselves and be wise. And what they were really worried about is how they were going to have to go out of the house to get food and to get medication and things like that. And these members of our church looked at their neighbors and said, you don't have to worry about that. We got it. Like, you don't have to go out. You don't have to do those things. Let us serve you and help you in this way during this time. That, my friends, is fulfilling the law of Christ. That is being the church. And so let's be faithful in service right now. I've had so many people, you know, whether it be through email or phone call or on our social media, say, hey, how can we serve? What can we do? That's the best thing we can do right now, is that we can look to serve and bless and love and encourage and pray for the people that are in our neighborhoods and the people that are closest to us. And so let's be the church in that way right now. Think about it this way. Write this down. Serving positions you to be the answer to someone else's prayer. Serving positions you to be the answer to someone's prayer. Isn't that a pretty cool thought? That means here's what I know. Whenever crisis comes, people who normally don't pray, guess what they're doing right now? They are praying. People who are like, I'm not sure I believe in God, they're praying right now. God, whoever you are, wherever you are, we need your help. And think about this. We have the opportunity to be the answer to people's prayer that are feeling lonely, that are feeling discouraged, that we have that opportunity. So look for a way to be the church in service. And then here's the third way that we're going to continue to be the church, right? Type this in. Be faithful in generosity. Be faithful in generosity. During times of crisis and need, we generally have two types of responses, don't we? Think about this. During crisis and need, we either are led by fear, which produces hoarding and selfishness, or we are led by faith, which produces service and generosity. Which one are you being led by right now, fear or faith? I want to give you a simple test to maybe help you see whether you are being led by fear or faith. Here is the test. Go to your storage closet right now and see how much toilet paper you have. If you have 30 years worth of toilet paper, you might be being led by fear right now. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. This is one of my life verses. Proverbs 11, 25. Could we all read this out loud together? Families, small groups meeting together, individuals, wherever you are, let's read this out loud together. Proverbs 11, 25. Ready? Begin. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. You see, this is the upside down way of Jesus. The way that you actually get your needs met and the way you are blessed, according to that verse, is that you actually meet other people's needs and you decide to be a blessing. You don't hoard and hold on to everything for yourself. What do? You bless. This is the way of Jesus, and this has always been the way of Jesus' people. I want you to remember it this way. Write this down. God created us to pour, not store. God created us to pour, not store. Now, there is nothing wrong with being wise and ready. We should be. But at the very same time as Jesus' people, we should give faithfully and generously and pour ourselves out to the world around us, because God's promise is as we do, he will refill and fill us back up. You see, one way that we can all stay generous and be a blessing during this season is through our giving right here in the church. This is something my wife and I have already talked about, that as we are in this season where we are only, you know, gathering online, however long this will be, my wife and I are going to continue to be faithful in our giving to this church. And I would ask you, if this is your church, to be faithful in your giving as well. Because giving to the church is a very practical way that you can help and serve our community during this time. It isn't about protecting or helping me. My wife works in the medical field. That's a pretty solid job opportunity right now. And so she's my sugar mama, my backup plan. But here's what this is about. If you give to the church, here's what you're doing. You're enabling us to bless and give to the world. Your generosity every week here impacts lives. It empowers us to continue to share the hope of Jesus in the midst of fearful and uncertain times. It also helps us care for the members of our congregations that have great needs. And it helps us bless our communities. I want to let you know that we are already giving and making donations to our local partners who minister to the most vulnerable in our communities. We are partnering with our local food bank through a ministry in Chula Vista that we've partnered with for years called Community Through Hope that serves the hungry and the homeless. And because you have given in the past, we were able to already bless and already give now. And we are going to continue to give, and we are going to continue to serve, and we are going to continue to be generous to those in need. And so understand, when you are generous here, you are allowing us, and you are a part of, we are all a part of that generosity that blesses our cities and helps those in need. And so here's what I'm asking everyone to do who calls this your church home. Would you set up online reoccurring giving during the season where we're not gathering in person? I was talking to another church member just yesterday, and we were talking about how crazy this all is, and he was speculating, well, how long do you think this is going to last? And I'm like, dude, I have no idea. And then he looked at me, he was like, well, dude, what do you think is going to happen with giving? And I said, well, I have no idea. We'll see, right? But then I told him two things. I said, well, two things. Here's what I know. Number one, you're a part of a church that we have savings, that we handle finances very responsibly. And so we have a little bit of margin. And I said, so we we'll see what happens. I said, the second thing that's really cool about this season of time and history that we're in is that 70% of our giving every single week happens online already anyway. And so the vast majority of you, you already do this. But if you're one of those families that you show up and you give, or you write a check, or this friend that I was talking to, they give cash, however you do that, here's what I would ask. Set that up online. And be faithful and generous, and it allows us to be faithful and generous to the people around us. You can do that through the app. You can set that up online. It's real easy to do. Just before the band comes back out, I just want to remind you of this as we close. Jesus is our hope, and the church is the hope of the world. And so let's be the church by being faithful in prayer, faithful in service, and faithful in generosity. I'm gonna invite the band up, and they're gonna share a song with us. I wanted us to have one last moment of reflection and really prayer and worship. The song they're gonna sing is called Surrounded, Fight My Battles, and it speaks to how we're gonna fight our battles during this season through prayer and through praise, through being in the presence of God. And so during this song, I want you to sing it. If you're going, I'm not sure I want to sing with these other people in the room, that's fine. You can just pray it and pray these words. God, this is how we as a Jesus community are going to fight our battles. Now, I want you to stay on through the end of this song, because I'm going to come back at the end of this song, and I want to pray a special blessing of peace over every single person in our church, every family that's gathered together watching. And I want to pray this blessing of peace on you so that then we can be bringers of peace to our world. So hang on through the song, and I'll be back right after that. But let me pray for all of us right now. God, I thank you that you are here. I know that you are with us, and I pray that as your word has gone out and the truth of who you are, we've been reminded of that today. God, would it fill us with hope? Would it bring us peace? Would it comfort our souls? Would it relieve some stress? And God, as we sing this song, may we be reminded what the lyrics say, that it may feel like we are surrounded, but may we always remember that we are surrounded by you, that you are God with us. You are God for us, and you are here, and you are with us right now. And so, God, we make this our prayer to you. Amen.